There's many different ways that you can worship God, as you have noticed this morning. And we are going to continue to worship God in several different ways. Right now, we're going to ask Michael Cotton to come up and speak to us. Michael has a word for us from the Lord, and we're going to do that in preparation to Brett's ordination. So please give a warm welcome, CA welcome, to Michael Cotton.
Hey, good morning. Great day, huh? I was seeking the Lord when I knew that I was speaking. I just began to turn my mind to God, and being who I am, it's the question is always, God, what do you want to say to the church? And he gave me a vision, and I began to, from the vision, I began to get some scripture and supporting documents and on how to present that word, and it was just familiar to me. And I went back finally and searched in my old computer and using a few keywords, and I found that God gave me the same vision for this church December 10, 2001. And I preached the essential of this message at that time. That was in the middle of your transition from Paul Gordon as pastor to Doug Carricker. So this message today has been, in its essentials, preached here one time before, in the middle of that transition. And here we are again, and I appreciate the Holy Spirit being so consistent, that he brings a consistent message and a consistent word to you, and that there's a continuity in him that rolls on from generation to generation to generation. So why don't we pray and let's ask God, let's ask the Holy Spirit to cover us with his wings this morning, that he would just settle right down over this building and cover us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We love you. We love the way you've always taken care of this church, that you've been like a brooding hen. You've never left. You were here in the very beginning, in the conception, in the idea that you birthed for this church. This is your idea. And you've carried it out, and you've nested and spread your wings over this church from generation to generation. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for Paul Gordon. And for Ernie, and we're so glad Ernie's here. Holy Spirit, that you always reveal yourself in the people around us. You revealed yourself in Paul and in Ernie. You revealed your heart for the city, for these people. Lord, we thank you for Dub and Pam, that in a second generation, you've revealed your love for this city and this church. And these people through them. And Lord, it's the same love. It's the same revelation. And Lord, we're coming here now for a third time, for another generation that you're raising up. And Lord, we thank you that you're revealing your love for this church and this city through Brett and Kelly. Holy Spirit, come today and have your way with us. Lord, open to us. Let us see the depth and the expanse of your love for your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to just uncover the ancient things. There's nothing new. We're just going to uncover the ancient things. God gave me a vision. I saw Elisha the prophet, and he had the rolled up cloak of Elijah, his mentor. And he's standing at the riverbank, and he strikes the water and he says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" We're going to talk for a minute about where is the God of Elijah. So let me just, this is not the message. I just need to give a backstory for a few minutes so you can understand how he got there to that side of the river and what it meant for him to be holding another man's rolled up cloak. So just a few minutes of the backstory. Be patient. So this is not the message. So Elijah is coming up to the apex of his ministry, and he's had the battle at Mount Carmel, and the glory of God has fallen, and he's taught the prophets of Baal a lesson. And, but in the process, Elijah comes to this place of crisis with God. And finally, God says to him, this is in 1 Kings 19:16, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king of Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. So God begins a transition in the life of Elijah, the prophet. He does it by telling him, you're going to anoint, actually it was two kings and one prophet, to take the place of one prophet. Elijah had a powerful ministry, and he was going to take three anointed leaders to fill up what had been one pair of shoes. So, then he said, and the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. So when God raises up another generation, there's a power in it. There's a boldness in it. And God was saying to Elijah, don't you worry about what's going to come, because these men you're going to lay hands on and anoint are going to absolutely do the job. There was a power in it. And if I'm Elijah and I hear these words, I got to go, whoa, wait a minute. This is serious stuff I'm about to come into. Maybe I need to understand what God's been doing in my life, that what he's been doing in my life is serious. What he's going to be doing to these three men is going to set the nations of Syria and Israel aright. So listen, God's going to do stuff today. What happens today? God's going to set, and I'm not saying Brett's going to go out and kill people in Durham, but this is serious business, and Satan doesn't like what's going on here. And the spirits of darkness are not happy, because things are happening here which will make the demons tremble in this city. Okay. So it goes on. This is verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. So listen, this thing was not, his meeting Elisha was not by accident. God had given him a word, and he searched the man out. And I want to tell you something. When God moves in your church, or when God moves in your life, this stuff is not by accident. He has searched you out. He has gone to find you because your name was already spoken to him, and you're not an accident. What you walk into, your ministry is not an accident. This church being birthed out of the heart of Paul and Ernie Gordon is not an accident. The name, the intention is spoken, and we just go search out the thing God's already spoken.
That's right.
You don't walk into anything new. You're just going to go search out what God has spoken. Y'all going to find something in Turkey, by the way. Just tell you, you need to understand the warfare that's been going on. You're going to step into something. You're going to search out and find something in Turkey that's not new but is ancient. Okay. So this is the... So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. That's so funny. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. How many tribes in Israel? 12. He was being called as a prophet for the entire nation of Israel, all 12 tribes. He plowed with the 12 yoke of oxen, and then he plowed prophetically with the 12 tribes of Israel. God will establish a scope for you. Your anointing and your authority will have a scope to it. It's never just about what you're doing. It's also about the authority you have and the extent of that authority and how far it goes and who has to stop and listen. How many oxen will you plow with? Brett, how many oxen will you plow with? How many oxen will this church? Anyway, you get the point. I'm not preaching yet. And so... Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." That's fine. And Elijah said to him, "Go back. What have I done to you?" So listen, when you're called, whoever you are, whatever the call is, you're going to immediately have opportunity to turn around and rethink the whole thing and go back to what you were doing. You'll have a chance. It'll be reasonable. The voice of reason will come to you. I know the voice of reason came to Paul Gordon and Ernie. What, Durham? Durham? The voice of reason has spoken to Brett. Hasn't it been reasonable? All the reasons why not to. None of it from the devil. Lord Jesus. Mark 10:29, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." God will force you to decide. He'll force it out of you. You cannot be good spouses, children, leaders, parents, unless you decide to separate yourself from those things to run after God. If you want to be a good husband, run after God as hard as you can. You want to be a good daddy? You can go read the books on how to be a good daddy if you want, but the way you're a good daddy is you run after God as hard as you can, so that your children and everybody else has to run and catch up to you. That's a whole seminar. So Elijah went back and he took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people. That is, he had a party. He killed his livelihood and the livelihood of his family, had a party, and burned his bridges and went after Elijah. To move after God at this point, you have to burn bridges. Brett and Kelly, you have to burn bridges. This is a day when you go, okay, can't go back now. We're going to have to burn a bridge. Sooner or later, it's like, goodbye. Goodbye. All right. So then it comes down that the prophets, there's a gang of prophets, there's about 50 of them, and they're following Elijah and Elisha because God's been speaking to them about the fact that transition's coming and Elijah is going to hand something off to Elisha. And I'd be one of that 50 and I'd be following along. I'd be just, so they come up and so you got those two guys walking along and there are 50 guys back here just stalking them. And so they come to the river. And Elijah takes his cloak and he rolls it up and he smacks the water and the water parts. We'll get back to that in a minute. The water parts. They go across the other side and I figured out, God told me why they did that. Elijah wanted to get away from the 50 prophets that were stalking him. And so they're left on the other side of the river because the water parts, those two guys go through, the water comes back, the 50 prophets are going. And these two guys go home. Okay, so ultimately, Elijah is being taken up into heaven. And he turns to Elisha and asks him a question. The question is, what do you want? What can I do for you? I'm going to tell you something. God's going to come to you if he hasn't. He's going to come to you one day. Some prophet or somebody else is going to stand in front of you. Thus says the Lord, what do you want? You need to think about this and be ready with an answer. Don't wait until you get asked the question because it'll only come to you one or two times in your entire life. You need to be ready. If God walked up to you, just say, what do you want? Elijah said, I want double your anointing. Bam. He had that thing ready. He didn't have to go pray about it, fast, think, I want double it. What do you want? Because God's going to come to you, and he's going to come to this church. There's going to be a release of this question being asked in this church. In the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit's going to come to many of you. Just go. Maybe you'll be a sleeper on the... What do you want? What are you going to say? So Elisha says, I want double the anointing. Elijah says, well, if you're here when I'm taken up, that's what you're going to get. And then Elisha's taken up, and the cloak, I think, I always just like a little TV thing. I see the cloak sort of floating back down, little poof, and the cloak comes floating back down. Of course, that's probably not true. It's just my little childish 10-year-old imagination. And now here comes the critical point. All I've done now is give you the backstory for the vision and for the word for Christian Assembly. Because at this point, Elisha goes back to the river and he's got the cloak of Elijah. And he's standing there, and who's across the river looking at him? The 50 prophets, still trying to get across the river. They can't get across the river. And here's Elisha now on the other side of the river, and he's holding Elijah's cloak. And he's standing there looking at those 50 prophets, but what he's really thinking is God going to establish me as a successor to Elijah, the greatest prophet of Israel? Is he going to establish me? I saw Elijah do that, but what is he going to do for me? And whatever he does for me has to be seen by the rest of Israel. You know, whatever God calls you to do, excuse me for shouting, I'm preaching now. Whatever God calls you to do, don't you know sooner or later the proof has to be in the pudding? Don't you understand if you're called to pray for people for healing, sooner or later somebody's got to get healed. There's got to be a miracle. If you're called to be a prophet, sooner or later you got to prophesy to somebody. If you're called to be a preacher, sooner or later you got to preach a sermon that makes someone stand up and go, amen. You understand? There has to be a proof in the pudding. And there's a point where you can't minister because you got a title, because you got elected to a job. It doesn't work because you got elected, because God's not impressed with your election or with your title or with your salary. So he, this is... 2 Kings 2:8. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And it doesn't say that, but I know it's the truth, looking at those 50 beady-eyed prophets across the river. Why were there 50 prophets over there? Because an anointing burst anointings in others. Elijah's anointing birthed anointings, and prophets were being raised up. If you've got a gift of healing, if you're a preacher, you will raise up preachers. If you're a pastor, you'll raise up pastors. If you're a servant, other people will get crawled down and start serving right next to you. That's what happens. Lord Jesus, that's a message. He took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Meaning, God, you did it for him, but now I want you to do it for me. Don't do it in the name of Elijah. I want you to do it for me. Is this stuff real for me? See, every generation, this is the vision I had. God says to you that every generation must ask the same question. You do not ride in on the coattails of the last generation. The anointing of the last generation is not yours. The call of the last generation is not yours. There's a point where you must rise up and stick your chest out and look God square in the eye and go, okay, God, you did it for Paul Gordon, you did it for Dub Carricker. Will you do it for me? And will you do it in the eyes, in the face of those 50 guys, beady-eyed prophets, who are living in Elijah's anointing? Will you do it for me in the presence of them? They need to see it. For Christian Assembly, the question now is, where's the God of Paul Gordon? For those of us that knew him, still miss it. Where's the God of Dub Carriker? But Lord, are you going to do it for me? And the question is, in the eyes of the beady-eyed prophets all around Durham, in the eyes of the other churches, where's the God Paul Gordon? And that Brett, Kelly, and the rest of you, rest of you guys, you'd stand up, stick your chest out, look God straight in the face. Okay, God, you did it for them. This is a new generation. Do it for us. I want you to do it right in the eyes. Let Durham see it. Lord, bring your miracles. Bring your signs and wonders. Lord, let us use the foundation of teaching in this church just like a springboard right into a new anointing. Hallelujah, where the word of God destroys powers and principalities and heals bodies and heals minds and puts money in the pockets of the poor and feeds the poor. Lord Jesus. So now I want to talk for just a minute. I want to end this with a further understanding. This is the sign here, parting the water. Means a whole lot more than just a miracle. I want to start back with Genesis 1:7. God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. The creation event involved in the sign of the creation event is of the waters separating. Isn't that interesting? Let me go on. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Moses comes along, and what God does is through Moses, he recreates creation again and releases the power of creation through Moses' hand. Then again, Joshua, as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam. That's interesting. And the city that is beside Zarethan and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. See, Joshua had the same thing. He's following an anointed leader. And God gives him a recreation, a creation event. He divides the waters just like God did at the beginning in front of the eyes of the people because he was going to establish Joshua in a new generation of warriors who, when the waters were divided, it says the warriors ran over first. They ran in and took the land. They charged across on dry ground. Whew. Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted. And then Elisha does the same thing. So it's not just a miracle. This harkens all the way back to the very beginning and the power of God released at creation. This is the vision God gave me for you. The coming days, as the question is asked by Brett and Kelly and by you, where is the God of Elijah? Are we going to see the power of God for this generation? Are we going to ride in on the coattails of another generation? Or God, are you going to come and release your anointing and your power over us that we would be like Joshua, to Moses, like Elisha, to Elijah, that instead of a diminishing, Elisha came out with a double anointing. Are you willing to say, double whatever's been here? Double it. We don't disrespect that, but I know as I reach my older age, almost, I look at my sons and daughters, my real sons and my daughters and sons in the faith, and I don't want them to walk in my anointing. I want them to walk up and kick something over and say, God, we want more than he ever had. We want more. We're not some kind of false respect. We don't want more than what those boys had. What, you know, the faith of whatever is good enough for me, it's not. The faith of whatever that generation was is not good enough for me. And I look at you and I don't want it to be good enough for you. I want you stirred up and kicking a chair over and getting God's attention and say, won't you come do something here? Do something with us and let's change this land and double whatever's been here. Does that make sense? You with me? That's the word for you. That's the word for this church. And this applies to Brett and Kelly. It applies to Christian Assembly. But listen, if you're here, even if you're here as a visitor, you've got stuck with this word now. It's going to stick to you. It's going to stick to you. And it's going to, don't limit yourself to the last generation. Love them. But don't limit yourself. Because they want you exceeding them and surprising them. And I'll tell you what, when some of you finally meet Paul Gordon again, you tell him what's been going on. You want him surprised. You go, good Lord, never thought of that one. Look at that. You want, good Lord, look at that. Look what they did. They ran away with it. And the word is that, Christian Assembly, you've got permission to be as audacious as you can be, because the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to keep up with you. He's hovering over us, over this church. He's hovering right now, Holy Spirit. And he's incubating things in you. There are ideas and dreams and little stirrings of stuff that seem too audacious to be reasonable. But none of this stuff is reasonable. It's not reasonable. And it's not calm. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Michael. You have no idea about this, but Brett's preaching a series right now on Elijah and Elisha. It was a nice addition, what you did today. Isn't it neat to see how God moves? In his people, in his church, all over the place, not just in one place or another. Okay, it's time for the main event. Brett and Kelly? Okay, and I'd like to ask the elders of Christian Assembly to come up, please, and I'd like to ask our overseer, Michael Cotton, to come up. And then I would like to invite any ordained ministers that are here in the house to come up, please. Mark, you coming? Can you? Without waking the baby. Hey, Ben, come over here, too. We got a prophet and two kings here we need to. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's lay hands on him, and we're going to lay hands on him. There's something that happens here when we do this. We're going to lay hands on and pray, and that's what we do in the natural. But as Michael said, what's really happening here is we're just agreeing with what God is already doing in the Spirit, right? It's God is the one who ordains people for service, sets them apart for service, and anoints them and equips them to do what they are called to do. And that is exactly what this young man has been called to do. God has called him, and we're just going to lay hands on him and anoint him for service. So, Father God, you are faithful in every generation. Lord, it has been more than 40 years since this church was founded by Paul, Lord, and others who are still here today, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in every generation, Lord God. Father, we thank you that as we lay hands on Brett today, it's not just we who are ordaining him, Lord. You indeed yourself are ordaining him. And Father, as we lay hands on, this is what comes down to us from Jesus Christ himself, through the apostles, to the pastors and elders and all the churches through all the generations. Lord, this is not new, this is ancient. But Lord, there is a fresh anointing, as Michael said, for this generation, for this time, Lord God, for the challenges that they will face, Lord. And Father, we ask for that anointing to come upon Brett as we lay hands on him and anoint him. Father, we also pray for Kelly in this. Lord, they are one, Lord God. And what you have called Brett to, you have called Kelly to as well, Lord God. And Father, we recognize that there's an anointing that goes for her as well. So, Father, we ask you to bless and encourage her, Lord, as we lay hands on her husband. And as we anoint him, that she would recognize she, too, is being anointed for service in this house, Lord God, in this day, in this generation. So, Brett, through the laying on of our hands, Lord, and with all of our heart, we now ordain Brett for the service of Christian ministry as the pastor, Lord God. Lord, in your image, Lord God, in your image, Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, the good pastor. And Lord, we ask you, Lord God, that every bit of anointing that we have, Lord, that it may go towards him, Lord God, and way beyond that, Lord God. As Elisha asked for a double portion, we ask you for that, for Brett, Lord God. Lord, we anoint him and we ordain him as a pastor in the Church of Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord.
Amen. I've known you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I have called you. I ask you now, step out in what I have called you to do. I am with you each and every step you make. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you.
Father, this anointing actually comes down from your hand, Jesus.
Amen.
You anointed your disciples and they anointed other men, Lord, and it has come down from generation to generation, Lord. Father, we pray for fresh impartations, fresh anointing, Lord.
Amen.
For Brett and Kelly both, for this house, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Fresh anointing, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
I see God's hand on your rib, like my hand is on your shoulder right now. And I just pray that as he guides you, that it's a pull, it's a tug that you cannot move away from. That he is married to you. And he will not let you to float. There's a firmness to this relationship. There's a purpose and a surgical precision in what God has for you, Brett, and for you, Kelly. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you allow his ears to hear, Father God, and allow the Holy Spirit to quicken him. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit, Father God, to give him that power that he needs, Father God, the courage that he needs, the fortitude that he needs, Father God. Lord, I just pray that we can support him, Father God, and we can hear your word, and we can see their vision as well. Lord, bless this family and bless their children, Father God.
Lord.
We rebuke Satan in Jesus' name to come and try to get to the branches of this tree, Father God. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for these children in this family, Father, that you will raise them up, and they will seek you, and your face will shine on them, Father God. Thank you for the heart of a servant. We thank you for this family. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father God, I feel like you said yesterday to pray for the wisdom of Solomon for Brett. We do that right now, Father God.
Yes,
in the world that he's stepping into as a pastor, Ooh. Father God, he needs that wisdom, Father
Hallelujah.
God. So we pray for the wisdom of Solomon to be
Amen.
Upon Brett right now, Father God.
Amen.
The entire time that you have your hand on him,
Amen.
Lord, let him have that wisdom, Father God, to deal with everything that comes his way, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
And as we are all in agreement, elders around, Church of Jesus Christ here together, let us say our amen.
Brett, we say to you, and God, we say to you, amen.
Amen.
So be it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Go forth.
Amen.
So I have the microphone and it's 12:15, which is normally the time where I'm supposed to be wrapping up and finishing, but I have notes. And Michael doesn't know this. Many of you don't know this, but some of you, I've been preaching through a series on the transition between Elijah and Elisha. And 2 weeks ago in our elders' meeting, I told Dub, because we had agreed to do every other Sunday, and I told Dub, I said, well, you know, do you mind if, you know, I know you're supposed to preach this Sunday, but if I can preach that Sunday, I can cover this, so that the ordination Sunday, I can cover the parting of the water by Elisha. I know you didn't know that. If you, last week, Dub taught on the Holy Spirit being more than just an it, but being a him. And if you've never experienced him, you've witnessed him at least here this morning. He's the reason my life is the way it is. I said I wasn't going to get emotional. I'm not going to preach long. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him." See, it wasn't Joshua. And it wasn't Elijah, it was God. And it wasn't Paul, and it wasn't Dub, and it's not me, it's God. In Joshua 3, in my first part of the series, I will remind you and kind of share for those who weren't there. In Joshua 3, Michael kind of mentioned this. With Joshua's portion of Moses has now passed away, and Joshua is charged with leading all these people, this whole nation. And it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they had passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way that you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.'" This is a new thing. "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua said to the priest, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people.' So they took the Ark of the Covenant and went out before the people. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you.' And then they crossed the Jordan on dry land. Not because Joshua did something great, but because Joshua stepped into what God had called him into, and God did something glorious and amazing. Now, I want to give you three things about me. One of the things that I've strived for in my life is in everything that I do it in excellence. Not because I want to be great, because I want him to be seen as great in me. And 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. His power has granted all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. One thing I want to commit to you is that I will continue my striving in excellence before God. Not so that you can look at me and you can think that I am great, but so that you can see the reflection of my Heavenly Father in me. One thing I probably don't have to explain too much, but the second point is humility. I don't know, maybe some of you might think I'm not very humble. Humility has been a very big thing in my life. And as you know, humility usually comes with a lot of humiliation to get there. I'm not afraid to pray for humility because I know what it actually takes to get there. And I know what it means when you're there before God. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, I as Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of bond of peace. So I commit to walk in a manner before you, to walk in humility. And passion. Some of you may not know, I'm a fairly passionate person. I hide it really well, though. It usually gets seen when things aren't right. I'm a big proponent of making sure things are right. And there's something that in the family that I've inherited through marriage that I have not lived down. And I'll share you a quick story. We were playing, I think Kelly and I were dating at the time. And we were playing with, I think it was like win, lose, or draw or something like that. Rochelle's going to start laughing because she knows. So we were drawing, and it was two teams. And I was drawing something. I think the word was snowman or something like that. And I was drawing a perfect snowman because excellence, I have to be perfect, right? So I'm drawing a perfect snowman as quickly as I possibly can. And I hear Rochelle yell out, snowman! And I look over it, and I don't remember who was drawing. Somebody was drawing. It was Mark? It was Kelly. Kelly was drawing, and I look over at her picture, and it's a snowflake. Before my passion, because we're still dating at this time, they don't fully know me, and before I can do anything, I say, you so looked at my hand! Because there's no way that she got snowman from a snowflake. It had to have been my perfect snowman picture. I am very passionate about making sure that what is right, and what is wrong is clearly communicated, even if it draws some kind of line in the sand with the family. Romans 12, 3 through 8 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads in zeal, or with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I'm excited to lead with zeal. And zeal is not necessarily a term that we always use nowadays. But I looked it up, and I love this example of zeal, this use of zeal. In Isaiah 42, 13, it says, "The Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war, he stirs up his zeal. He cries out, he shouts aloud, he shows himself mighty against his foes." So I commit to being zealous for what God has put before us here at CA. That double portion of the anointing, that is what I have been asking for from God. That is my desire for CA, that we can step out. That's my desire. That's been my prayer from the very beginning for my children, that they will go further than me. And that's what I want to see with CA, so that as the torch is passed to me, then one day I can pass the torch on and it will continue to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Because that's not natural. That is supernatural. That is a God thing. That is not a man thing. And I want to end by saying that that me and Ben and Jamil, the yelders of the group, we extended an invitation to each of the elders, the little older elders, the elders, from the prophet. They're called the elders, so we'll go with that. We extended an invitation for them to stay on as elders if they felt that that was what God was calling them to. And I want to let you know that all of them have accepted to stay on, at least as long as God has called them to it. And we know we are young, but we're not naive. We know that we need the wisdom of these men. They have clearly led this church very well in the time that they have been responsible for CA. And we will need to lean on them, sometimes probably more than we would like to admit, but we know that God has them with us, and we appreciate them stepping into that as well. So we wanted to clearly communicate that to you all as well, that we have all committed to the future of CA and what will be seen, because we are yet to know what God will do, but we trust it'll be great.